Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the upcoming Outlander series or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 21 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander. So I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I'm still hungover from last weekend.
From my own self, what I know about myself, and also from what I've been reading and following on Twitter and Facebook, and the media, and the Google alerts. Oh my goodness!
Dude, the Google alerts.
She's really sick of them. But we've had so many. It's gone from like what, maybe five or ten a day to like 67 a day. Google.
Let me explain the Google alerts. We have a pod email address that Ginger forwards me.
It's an automatic forward.
An automatic forward of anything pod related that goes to my
No.
My email.
Not anything pod related, anything that comes at all.
Exactly. Should be pod related, but it's not always. But she set up these Google alerts. Like, I didn't mind the emails before because it was usually good content and they were actually pod related, but now that she's got these Google alerts set up, it's like anytime the word Outlander or anytime the word Ron Moore, anytime any of those things are posted, Google sends us an alert, which was great and all, until I realized that half of them were for Mitsubishi Outlanders.
Well, here's the thing. The Mitsubishi Outlanders have been infiltrating that Google alert since I said it months ago. The problem is now that Outlander, to quote our own last episode 20 part 2 title, Outlander's coming out party.
Right.
Now that Outlander has come out to the world, it was already growing, but it is everywhere. It is.
No, and it's constant now. Like, if I don't touch my email, now granted, the emails all come to my phone, which is also part of the problem. Yep. So all the emails come to my phone, and if I check them throughout the day, I can handle it. It's like one here, one here, one here, maybe two at a time.
But overnight,
I'll wake up and have like 70 emails
easily,
and like at least 30 of them will be Google alerts.
Yeah,
and then I get retweets and all the other the Twitter notifications. I mean, it's pretty intense the amount of email that I wake up to every morning that really isn't for me.
It's overwhelming, but
it's exciting though. It is exciting that more of them there. We are getting less Mitsubishi Outlander and more alerts and more Ron D. Moore, Diana Gabaldon, Sam Hugh, and all of them. It's actually becoming more.
It's the series now.
Well, it is the series,
but they've just upped the number. No, before we were getting stuff with the series, definitely, but before Outlander invades LA event, it could be a lot. And it could be too much. It could be kind of a pain. But now it has gone into the land of redonkulous. It is just, unfortunately, that we can't stop it because we get a lot of repeats.
Don't hate me. I don't even read them anymore.
It's okay.
I just delete them. I'm like,
she doesn't. Yeah. But the thing is, and that's the thing is, I have to make sure if I'm getting delete happy to not actually delete things from listeners, from people contacting us about interviews or future shows. I have to be very careful.
No, if I see the word Google, I'm like, delete. And even though we did post our podcast later this week, the announcements will cover basically the same period of time they normally cover, like Monday to Sunday. We had several pictures this week uploaded by Outlander Stars. We started the week with a picture of a sheep getting ready for their close-up.
I find it interesting the range of images. We have beautiful romantic chandeliers with candles.
We have tincture bottles
sheep. And then a sheep. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just the range is kind of startling.
Well, it makes me, I look at this picture and what I think when I look at it, I'm like, did they, because they're obviously getting the sheep prepped for going on, but I'm like, did they hand place all of those, the dirt on him?
Did the sheep have a fluffer?
Right. Was it fluffer? Somebody with a big brush.
Or something.
But I'm just like, I wonder if they just kind of made them natural and just took them from their enclosure to the area where they were going to be, or if somebody hand-placed, like, all of those, like, cedar chips or whatever on him to make him look like he was hanging out. I don't know. Maybe somebody knows. Maybe not. We also got... There was a lot of, like, fan-made recaps I saw this week that I thought was neat.
Oh, from the event?
Yeah, from the event. There was a lot... Actually, there was a lot of footage from different people. Like, people posting their footage. Stars posted their footage. Mm-hmm. And everyone was concerned at first because Stars was saying this will be up for 48 hours. And they were like, well, what are they going to do after 48 hours? Are they just going to not show it anymore? But luckily, what that meant is, after 48 hours... We're going to edit this and get it ready and put it back out for people to find it. Because it's still, I'm sure, even after 48 hours, people had not seen it yet and were still clamoring to see it.
Yeah, we just heard from someone today that said that...
They hadn't had a chance to. Because I think it was streaming.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like
during the live one, he had popped in and out and seen it a few times. Seen it a few parts of it, but hadn't actually sat down to watch the whole thing.
Right. So that's good. I'm glad that they've put it out there permanent-like. So Matt Roberts was very busy this week. Which is good. I think it's good that he's busy, because there's lots more stuff for us to look at.
Did he already leave? Is he back in Scotland?
I don't know. I know that he had a bunch of stockpiled stuff.
He did. He said when we spoke with him last week, when we had a few moments, he said that he, because we were curious as to, for obviously he's in the U.S., or at least it was, for during the holidays, so we had stuff he hadn't released. And he was doing this picture of the day. And we asked him, do you... have a lot of stuff you're sitting on.
Well, because I was wondering, are they really the picture of the day, like the picture you took that day? Oh, or is it just picture of the day, like here's the picture I'm posting?
Because we have 100 and let me pick the prettiest one.
Right. So, and I'm sure he made it sound like he has... I'm sure it is both ways, but he also made it sound like he knows when he takes a special photo and he kind of like saves it for special occasions.
Oh, he said that he had a really nice one coming. I wonder, was this it?
I don't know. It could be this. It could be any of the ones he posted this week, or if it's something he's going to hang on to for later.
I bet it was the silhouette.
It could have been the silhouette, which was another picture we're getting to. Yeah. But the next post that he posted was the courtyard at
Leek.
as Ron Moore pronounces it, Leek. Which actually sounds like a southerner saying lick, when you think about it.
Lick. I guess so. I never thought about that, but very possibly.
Lick. Well, I'm going to go lick something. Anyway.
He posted a picture. You're going to go lick something? I'm going to go dune on something.
Dune.
I'm cutting that out.
You're going to go dune?
I'm going to go. Speaking of going dune, we already have our read along later.
That should be the name.
Going dune? Going dune? Dune to Navi?
Dune to Navi.
Okay, there we got it. We had something else planned, but I guess that works.
Sorry, it'll make sense later.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Well, yeah.
Anywho, so he posted this picture of the courtyard and he called it the before shot. Now, he said to look at Outlander Stars for the after pic, but
and we looked and there was nothing there. It's possible. I don't know if he gave the... No, he didn't. He gave the Outlander Stars Twitter account name. He didn't say website. He didn't say Facebook page or anything. So I went back and I looked and there was no, like, corollary shot.
Well, not a corollary shot. The only thing that I could think of was that he was referring to the courtyard shot that had been posted by the Outlander Stars Instagram
account. Is that little staircase thingy? Is it stairs? Maybe that's the place where it would be
where they were shooting from. I mean, that's the only thing that I could think was that he was referring to that other courtyard shot that had been released. But I can't say for sure that that's correct.
Yeah.
But that's all I got. Interesting news. I thought this was fantastic news for Diana, that Outlander, the book, has finally made it to the New York Times bestsellers list.
Yeah.
It has never in the 21 years it's been out.
91, so it'll be almost 23 years.
On the 23 years. In the last 23 years.
23 years.
It has never been on the New York Times bestsellers. Now,
a lot of her other books have been.
They have.
But I'm just, it's so shocking.
Well, you think about it, though. When it first came out, she's a new author, you're still building momentum. And unless you, and people don't push books like they do now, then. They didn't have the kind of media frenzy around new authors and books that we do now, because we didn't have social media like we do now.
Exactly.
So it's a whole different animal, you know, getting a book out now. But I do think it's exciting that it's finally on the New York Times bestseller list at number 12.
Yes, and I don't want to put any kind of ceiling on it. It would be awesome if this goes to number one between now and the... I mean, who knows? But during the first year, the first season, we hope many more, of the Stars series.
Wow. I just hope that it brings so many more readers into the fold.
It would be fun to see each one kind of take its place in the bestseller list as the seasons go on, as people read to get ready for the next season.
Speaking of this is not an announcement, but our little chat just now reminded me of something I tweeted this past week. In one of their, I believe it was one of the Access Hollywood snippet interviews that were released, and I put, you can see our Twitter timeline to see the tweet, but whichever one it was, and I gave a link, it was at, I think, 1 minute 28 seconds of that video, so you could go straight to it, but Sam mentions he was excited to see fan reactions to the show once it started. And that made me immediately think of all those fans, the fans who had not read the books, the fans video recording their watching the Red Wedding for the first time. We laughed so hard. I didn't read it. Summer had read it. You had read that, right?
Which one?
The Red Wedding.
Oh,
she'd already read that book. Okay. So we were watching Game of Thrones, and I mean, you know, the screams and the wah and the came out, all of the unbelievable sounds that came out of our mouths after watching this unbelievable thing made me think, I wonder if there are going to be reaction videos to, like, the first one or to the certain scene in Wentworth, which we have not gotten to and we're not going to spoil yet, but if you've read it, you know what I mean.
Look. Woo! Like, here's the thing. Fans, like, the people who've been waiting for this series for, like, 21 years and didn't know they'd been waiting for the series. But yes. They've been waiting for the series for a very long time to come out to see their book brought to life. Nobody's going to want to see a 5-minute video of people crying. I mean, that's what it's going to be.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's no fun.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want
the first one. No, the first one's just going to be a bunch of people crying, and that's going to get boring.
Well, it's going to be like that for any book that they make into a series for me. Any of her books that are made. But, yes, you're right. There's a special thing about Outlander because it is the first one. It's the first time we will have seen any of her books come to screen. And so the first episode of the first... Oh, my God. I think every episode I'm going to be a weeping basket of... Woomph. I don't know. I don't know.
You keep your woomph out of here. I don't want your woomph in the room with me.
Hush. But it will be separate rooms, maybe separate abodes. We don't know yet. But it'll be separate places, separate TVs. And if it is in the same abode, doors shut. Because I need a little bit of whiskey and darkness, candlelight, and Outlander. Soft.
She's romancing herself. She's romancing herself.
No, my cat's
like, there. Let me tell you what I need to watch Outlander.
My cats will be in the room too, so we can close the door.
Oh, weird. Anyway.
No, I just don't want them running in and out. Because if you have any animal that is attached to you or that likes you or that just is used to roaming around the house, you close the door, they will be at that door. Or, you know, a dog beating at the door. So I don't want scratches at the door in the middle of Outlander because I may yell at them and regret what I do.
So, back to announcements. Outlander Stars posted a picture on their Facebook page of...
Look at that hair.
Like a prep to the scene in the trailer when she's near the stones. And they captioned it, that awkward moment right before you fall through time.
Speaking of hair,
she did get 2 perms.
We know that, but also because the first one didn't take as well. My question is, they, and probably her too, did their darndest to not show us her Claire hair. Did you realize that? It was either back in a bun, every kind of media thing she's done, it was either back in a bun or it was blow-dried straight.
Yeah. I'm going to put straight in quotation marks because poor thing could not get her hair straight now.
Yeah. Totally. But all I'm trying to say is, if you look at this picture, it's the one, the awkward moment right before you fall through time. That is stinking Claire hair. Oh, that is... I don't want to say frizzy, but it's like, it's the curl going just every which direction. And almost like it was kind of slept on one side or something. But this is so not the hair that... I think if she had shown up with any kind of Claire hair, we would have dissolved into tears. At least at the media stuff, she's able to kind of keep her Katrina-ness about her.
As because Katrina she can be.
As Katrina she can be with a perm. No, I think she looks excellent with a perm. Which looks like Claire. That's all I'm going to say. And we love Claire, so there you go. Oh, I'm still... If I talked... Oh, gosh. I'm just getting goosebumps about last weekend. Okay.
Oh, just a reminder, in case you haven't checked it out, we did post links on our Facebook page to our experiences at the LA Outlanders.
You mean the episode 20.20?
Not the episode.
The blog post.
Got it. Yes. Where we posted all of our pictures from the meet and greet and our pictures from, you know, being down in the South.
Which we also linked to separately in a different Facebook post. But correct. We also, because you have to read it. There's a lot of linked text in there. But there is also a link to our video that we uploaded to YouTube. It was 2 different videos. One of Sam and one of Katrina
It was because I had phone issues. But anyway, I did the best I could. It goes from landscape to portrait, and it's a very narrow image. But hey, I was able to get a little bit of footage outside. I don't know the alley, but I guess the alley behind the theater.
Yeah.
After the event, when pretty much everyone had gone and they were coming out, so I had a chance to videotape some of that.
We also got another picture from Outlander Stars, which is funny. It was a picture of their Steadicam with the sign on it that says "The Man Maker," which, if I'm not mistaken, a Steadicam,
it's a camera stabilizing.
That's what I thought.
System.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
Interesting.
Okay.
Is it something you wear like around your belt?
In
your waist. Like that. Oh, yeah, it's on the body.
That's so why it's a must man. Be like,
man, right. I don't know if it's a man maker, but it's on a man.
It should be. If it's the same kind of Steadicam that we're looking at, it's usually stabilized by a vest that you're wearing. And so basically there's some dude carrying this heavy camera around strapped to him to stabilize it and make it a steady image. So I only wonder, this must be a very heavy camera for it to be a man maker. But think about it, though. They're also filming outside, mm-hmm. in the rough, like,
you walk on anything, you're going to fall on your
right?
face if you're not, you need, like, someone watching your feet while you're walking with, so a Steadicam basically allows you to have the camera at the subject, and you can kind of watch your feet if you need to, a little right. bit.
Because, I mean, I'm sure, as you can see from Ginger's video that she took.
I needed a Steadicam.
She needed a Steadicam.
Maybe not a huge one, just one for my hand.
Right. A hand Steadicam.
There you go. A hand. Yeah.
Handstand?
A handicam.
A handicam?
A handsticam.
I would like to see a photo of the man maker attached to somebody.
Like a man?
A man. I want to see the man that was made by the man maker.
I just don't get the name man maker. I get that it's, made in Austria? Ooh, okay. Shout out to the Austrians.
For making the Steadicam.
The man, yeah.
Matt Roberts also posted a picture, yeah, it looks like yesterday, so that would have been Friday, of a silhouette of Katrina and Sam in costume, it looks like. And it's silhouetted. And what was funny is that when it came out, I was getting notifications on Twitter. And somebody was... It was either Matt or someone else in the know who had said, you know, this is my favorite one yet. And Sam replied, why? Because you can't see my face. But it's a really pretty picture. I love silhouette pictures.
Yeah.
And he's got just a really good lens on this one. I don't know.
I just love
the filter and everything.
Because it looks so dark, but then you still see color.
Yeah.
The blue and the green, it's just, and the white. It's really, really beautiful.
It is a really pretty picture. I wonder if this is the one he said he was hanging on to. Who knows? And then Diana posted a pic of, I'm calling them the Fabulous Four. Picture of Ron, Diana, Kate, and Sam with the kind of the stars backdrop.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's an actual step and repeat because there wasn't a lot of press there, but it was the stars banner background.
Yeah. And they all look very, very nice. And you know, I was reading through this post because Anne had posted it, obviously, and then so many people responded, and she's still responding to people saying he's not Jamie.
Yeah.
And that's not Claire, and they're not tall enough, and...
You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because
it doesn't,
people
but,
who
have...
I'm not saying people...
I feel bad for her.
I'm not saying people are not entitled to their opinion. They certainly are. But they're not going to go back and... First of all, it's not going to change Sam. Second of all, they're not going to go back and reshoot four episodes.
No.
Anyway, I'm a firm believer in individual rights.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously,
and
we all have the Jamie we built in our heads. But if
you
go back and read the Jamie she wrote and stop taking all of your... The things that you created to make him Jamie for you.
Which is fine.
Which is not her Jamie.
No, it's not her Jamie. But I'm saying for you, whoever you had in your mind is sacred to you. And no one should ever diss you for what your imagination comes up with. And you should stick with that if that is what is important to you. But for the purposes of the series, Jamie has been cast. That's
right.
All there is to it.
Well, I just think it's funny that this conversation is still happening and we've had 20 episodes.
21. Yeah.
So that's 20 weeks. 20 weeks now we've still... This is coming.
Isn't that like
5
months? Oh my gosh.
Something like that.
Wow. Y'all, this is really... It does help pass the time. I will say that much. Okay.
And then today, last picture, Matt posted a picture of Castle Dune.
I'm never gonna... Yeah.
And then it says, welcome to Liek.
Liek Dune.
Liek Dune. No.
God.
Oh, the trouble we get ourselves into.
Oh, my goodness.
And lastly, we wanted to mention that today there was a Q&A by Matt B. Roberts that he held on Twitter, which is where he normally, I guess, holds his Q&A sessions. There was a transcript kind of put together by Aaron Conrad. Did it last time?
Yes, Erin Conrad has done, and as she has tweeted a few times, she has done all of them, we believe, and she compiles everything. She goes through all the mess of tweets with love, I'm sure.
Better her than us.
Just having this, and I think we've only officially used it once or
twice.
Well,
I mean, we follow along.
Such a great... No, we follow along the...
We follow along, but it's like when we go back and we try to remember everything, it's like trying to pull them up piece by piece can get very difficult.
Just like we're not reading the books on the air, we're not reading a Q&A. But what she has done is the hard work of going through the mess, if you will, and all the clutter on Twitter and put it in a very, very easy to follow format for the website 3ifbyspace. Her Twitter handle, again, is at Erin Conrad 2. Thank you so much, Erin. So we looked through it. We're not going to say much because there were a few...
I'm sure most of you have read it, so we're not going to do that.
It's always fun, but there were a few things that were not really necessarily news or not really things that we thought were just like a stand that stood out, but two things stood out that I thought were brilliant. So the two things that popped out, spoiler alert, that's your warning. The two things that popped out were someone asking the question, has the spanking scene been written? If so, who wrote it? And he answered, Matt answered, I was the lucky one who adapted it. And Summer can tell you, I let out a hoot. I am so tickled. I can't. Now to know that he did that, I am so excited. I'm so excited.
And the other thing he mentioned, someone asked him who was the lucky writer who wrote Diana's cameo scene. And he stated that he was also lucky enough to write her cameo scene. So he's getting the big stuff.
Very exciting. That's all we really wanted to say from the Q&A.
I guess that wraps up announcements this week. That was a lot longer than I thought it was going to be.
On to this week's read-along.
Chapter 17, We Meet a Beggar.
Mm-hmm. And this week we have, again, very kindly, some input from Twitter user Tweetly D. Thank you so much again. And we will be smattering your commentary throughout. So one of the things that I want to say, this is not necessarily related to the chapter, but just in general, something we've kind of started and now since the wedding night, and now we're going to keep up to the best that we can.
The oomph tally.
Oh, God. It's very... When she describes a scene... Okay, I'm going to have to say this. If it's like, you know, the whale penis or something comes up and you know that she's just stopping, but you know they're going to go on. She's implying that they've...
There are no whale penises in my Kindle.
No, that's true. It's only on the printed. So basically, if we see a dot, 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 whale penis, whatever you want to call it. If we see that and we know that they're going forward and she's totally implying that they've consummated yet again, we can, I think, count that as one. That's fair. How do we count?
Do we need a separate tally for assumed oomphs?
No, because that's too much. I will make an assumption. If it's like the lights go down, I'm going to assume a one.
Like panda, fireplace.
Fade to whatever. Exactly. I'm going to pretend that's... Not pretend. I'm gonna count that as one. I'm happy to. If we have an instance like a trip downtown, does that count as one?
I think Bill Clinton would clearly say that it does count.
It does not. He said it did not count.
I think everyone said it counted.
Except for him.
Probably.
Okay. So let's... I guess we'll count that then. So not just full consummation, also any downtown business.
I'm so uncomfortable right now.
Okay. So we will count...
So uncomfortable right
let's
now.
Do this. We're going to count any type of stuff between Jamie and Claire, nobody else. Between Jamie and Claire, any bits, I guess you could say? Well, full bits. Consummation or not is going to be a tally.
Do we have to keep having this conversation?
We'll have to finish it. Okay, it'll count as a one. That's all. Because if we don't get a set now, we're going to be wondering about this 3 months from now.
I will not.
You will not be.
I will not be wondering about this.
Okay, so I just wanted to get that clear. What constitutes an oomph of one? It's downtown counts. Okay, so the chapter starts, and they are still on their honeymoon. And Jamie and Claire go out for the day. And they go for a walk again. They notice that most of the horses are gone, as are the men. Jamie guesses that Rupert and the men rode east toward Grantlands to take some cattle
direction.
In the opposite direction of the watch.
Of the watch.
So apparently, yes, apparently Rupert is a cow whisperer. He's very good with cattle. Yes? Claire asks Jamie about his going to meet with Horrocks, the English deserter. And now she kind of is asking the obvious question, and he says that, yes, she's right. It's definitely too dangerous for him to go meet with him, with Randall there on the watch, or with Randall and the watch headed in that direction. We find out, though, that Jamie trusts Murtaugh very, very much. And
well, we find out more why.
He's from his father's bloodline. He says his father's second cousin, he thinks. But whatever he is, we know he's a Fraser as well. And we learn that when Jamie was coming back from France, he sent word to Murtaugh he was coming back, because he did not know if Dougal had been the one to try and kill him before.
Right. He still doesn't know.
He still doesn't know.
And because he doesn't know who did it, he also doesn't know who didn't.
Exactly. He doesn't know that he can trust the Mackenzies. Trust a meeting only with the Mackenzies. Because if Murtaugh finds out and then he's going to go take off and meet Jamie, the Mackenzies are going to find out that Jamie's coming back.
Right.
But he wanted someone like Murtaugh to be there.
Witnesses.
A witness, someone that he knew had his back no matter what. And not just the
Mackenzies. He made a statement about witnesses, that Dougal not being the only one who believed in witnesses.
Yes, that's true. And Tweetly D chimes in with, and she's exactly right, we get a little bit more of his backstory, which we just discussed, Jamie's backstory. And she says,
not just the story of his back, which is covered in scars, but his backstory.
Okay, Summer. And she says, I think this is the first time we get the full story of his head wound.
Is it still the full story? I mean, I don't think that we ever really have
the full story. That's true. By head wound, I think she means not the fact that he was wounded, but the mystery around it. Right?
Okay, I can see that.
So they stop beside...
There's still mystery surrounding it.
Yes.
Okay.
The two of them stop beside a tarn, which is a type of, I think, glacial lake or glacial pond, and they have breakfast. And Jamie points out different types of birds, but one especially, a plover. And Jamie, we find out, is not only a horse whisperer, but also a bird whisperer. And he describes the legend about the plover. But he takes the mother plover and holds her and quietly speaks Gaelic to her and then releases her and crosses himself. And he tells Claire the legend about it, and he says, why plovers cry as they do and run keening about their nests like that? Plovers have the souls of young mothers dead in childbirth. And the story goes that they cry and run about their nests because they can't believe the young are safe hatched. They're almost mourning for the lost one or looking for the child left behind. And Jamie said that he's just heard that story, not necessarily so many times, but he's...
I just think he identifies with the story.
Well, he does. And in this story, we learn that he lost his mom when he was 8. And he also says, as they go for a little walk, and they're going into the forest, and he says, always hide in the forest, Sassenach, because the birds will alert you to danger. Because they will maybe be a little bit twitchy at first when you're coming in, but if you're there and you settle down and you're quiet enough, you become part of the... surroundings, yeah. Exactly. And then when they hush, you know their danger is coming.
Which is good knowledge, I think. Because I think we all learned a little something from Diana's books. If I'm hiding, I'm going to hide in the forest.
Exactly.
I'm going to be quiet and listen, let my bird friends help me.
Like Cinderella.
Cinderella, Snow White.
So Jamie gets up the courage to ask Claire if what they have when they lie together is usual. And she says it's not usual, and that theirs, what they have, is something, quote, different.
But she hesitated. She didn't want to say it at first. I think that's her self-preservation kicking in, because I think
she's... freaking her out, too.
I think she's realizing that what she has with him is more. And she's afraid to admit to it, because
she's still trying to go back.
She still wants to leave.
Her mind and her goal is still on Craigadon.
Yeah, and Frank.
So, Tweedly D says here, we start to see that Jamie is seriously deep into this relationship, and Claire could have great trouble extricating herself from the situation she has found her in. Not to mention that Claire knows there is something different, which is what you just said, about this attachment between them, even though in part of her brain, she is still in the get back to Frank mode. So they both get a little fired up, meaning hot to trot, and Jamie then... I was unclear. This is where a dotted line was in my Kindle, too. Was this the one? I couldn't tell if it was... Because I remember the line, and Jamie knew where this was going, or leading, or something like that. Did that mean that they finished?
I mean, it could go either way. I mean, that's the thing. When they fade to candlelight, or... I think it's almost implied that they do. I mean, they're on their honeymoon, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but then when they go back up the rocks, she says, I did the best I could in a skirt and stays. So she got dressed again.
Here's the thing.
Oh, they don't have to get undressed.
Sorry.
Okay, so we'll count that as one.
I'm going to count it as one because here's how it ends before the line in Kindle. Because it says, I closed my eyes and felt the kindling touch move to my cheek and temple, ear and neck, and shuddered as his hands dropped to my waist and drew me close. I would assume that that's where it's going. He's a young, virile man on his honeymoon. What else are they going to do? They're just hiking all the time.
That's true. So we'll count that as one. So they both get a little fired up, and then after that, Jamie takes her to the top of a large rock. He helps her climb up. And they have a view of the inn and the road and the surrounding area. And suddenly, Jamie flattens himself against the rock and pulls Claire down. I just had, when she mentions how she's sitting there looking at this daisy, flies into her lap, or she just stupidly, and I don't, this is no offense to Claire, but she says it about herself. She stupidly watches it and is kind of like, oh, that's interesting. Meanwhile, Jamie's like, get the F down, woman! Because she's so, her mind, and this is reflects just about her being in Frank mode, as Sweetly D says. She's still in 1943 mode. Yes, she was a nurse in the war and there was danger and everything. The danger was loud and abrasive and ugly. Not that it's 100% shiggles here back in 1743, but she was not used to the whole arrows and the quiet attack of someone. It's always, you know, machine guns and tanks.
But I want you to know that every time I read this, I myself am a little confused.
Yeah.
When she says the daisy leapt off its stem. And I was like, why would it do that?
I think because I don't understand. Arrow hit it.
Well, that's exactly why it did.
But it surprises you.
But it surprises
time
me
now.
Every time. And I was like, well, that's such a weird thing to happen.
What a funny daisy.
So I kind of find myself in her mindset when I read that every time.
So Claire realizes quickly, Jamie flattens himself and pulls Claire down, and then she flattens herself. And she looks up and she sees that an arrow had flown straight into the crevice above her face. And then Jamie begins to laugh and she's like, what? But we find out that he recognizes the arrow as only, it could only belong to one person. And that person is Hugh Monroe. And he cups his hand around his mouth and he makes the call of a green woodpecker. And the call is returned. And Diana describes, I have to say, Diana describes Hugh Monroe with such, I think with such love and just such joviality in her description and in the way and in his personage. He just seems like, through having been through everything he's been through, he seems like such a happy fellow.
I can't wait
till
they
cast him. Him and his pumpkin head.
I can't wait till they cast him.
I know, me either. That'd be so, and a big, I don't think I wrote it down, but, a pumpkin head and a luxuriant beard. He appeared bedraggled. His clothes were like rags, carcasses hanging from his rope belt, his leather wallet across his chest. Small metal oddments, Diana says, dangled from the wallet's strap, old coins or buttons. And Jamie and Hugh embrace, and they have a conversation, two-sided conversation, only one side is vocal. Jamie obviously is speaking, Monroe is signing, because we find out that he had lost, his tongue had been cut out.
I'm like, he didn't lose it. I mean, it's not like...
It fell out. Tweetly D here says that, I love the part when they encounter Hugh Monroe, and Jamie proudly introduces his wife. No hint here how he really feels, is there? So, Jamie is... Yeah, he is such...
No, but
he already has a lot of pride.
But he reddens.
I
like
know,
she says
yeah.
He reddens a little bit. Yeah. And it's a mixture of shyness and pride. Because it's probably the first time he's ever introduced her as his wife. Mm-hmm.
And so he's newly married. And we find out Monroe is also newly married, 6 months, to a widow. And he is careful to point out a fat widow. And Hugh gives them, after the announcement of their wedding, as a wedding present, a wedding gift, he gives them one of his rabbit carcasses. And Jamie, in return, gives him back a bottle of ale that they had brought with them from the inn, from the well. And they continue to chat, and we find out that Monroe is an official beggar. Because of everything he had been through, he has been granted gaberlunzies, which are licensed to beg for various parishes, not just one. So he can go travel around, and he has the right to beg, on certain days only, in more than one parish. And we find out
like
that...
Like a busker's license?
Maybe something like that. And he has had an adventurous past, and was also a slave at one point. They discussed Claire's learning about him. They discussed his injuries, and he was... Monroe strips off his clogs to show off his feet. The Turks had poured boiling oil onto them in an attempt to force him to convert. And he is very proud of showing his feet, very proud of showing his scars. Hugh tells Jamie what's happening down in the village, And then he leaves, and Jamie tells Claire that he'll be able to carry a message for him to change the meeting place for him to meet Horrocks. They return to the inn, and Dougal and the rest of the men are back. And they go upstairs, and they do not come down for dinner. Now, I thought, should that count as one oomph? Because that's a huge insinuation. Except that they say later that night, I think we have to. That's one there. I'll put a number there.
I mean, they both like eating, so if for them to not come back down.
That's true. And then, after it says they do not come down for dinner, later that night, which means they've had at least one, Jamie and Claire, another of the well-known quotes from Outlander. Jamie asks Claire, "Does it ever stop, the wanting you? Even when I've just left you, I want you so much, my chest feels tight and my fingers ache with wanting to touch you again." Tweedly D says, "All men should read this book and say those lines to their women. They would get so much more action."
Right?
And the oomph tally, I'm going to count that as another one, I think.
I think it's going to have to be like oomph episodes of oomphing. We don't know how many times in the course of those time periods.
Well, this is where I got into our conversation earlier we had off the air. So the oomph tally definitely increases here. An entire session, not really necessarily, that we know of, because they both laugh when Jamie is trying to be spiritual in his oomphing. He says that he feels like he's God sometimes when he's within her, and then that makes her laugh. When Claire is giggling and he's like, "Fine, if I can't take you this way and I can't be spiritual about it, I'm going to be more base about it." He's like, "Get on your knees. Do you want me to be a horse, a bear, or a dog?" And she thinks about it and says, "Hedgehog." And he asks, "How does a hedgehog make love?" And she laughs and says, "Very carefully." And then in her mind, now she knows how old that joke is. And I love it. I love it. That was awesome. And so then JB proceeds to go downtown.
Doontown.
Or to Doonton Abbey. I like Doonton that. Abbey. He goes to Doonton Abbey. Jamie sets about to want to go to Doonton Abbey. And Claire is not comfortable with it. He has to kind of get her to stay still. And he's like, what's the matter? What's going on? Why? Be honest. Be truthful. She says she isn't comfortable. And she says she doesn't think the smell is likely very nice. She's very concerned about that. Jamie laughs and laughs until he has tears running down his face. He says, "When you meet a new horse, you rub your armpit over its nose to give it your scent." And he jokes with her, "You should have rubbed my face between your thighs the first thing we met." And then he proceeds to blow Zerberts in the downtown regions. Or the Doonton Abbey regions. So Diana describes the scene very, very tastefully and somewhat distantly. She describes all of the things that Claire is thinking of and the sensations that she has, but not necessarily the physical ones in the Doonton region.
But can I just say, when he says, "You should have done that first, the first thing you did when you met me," I'm like, could you imagine somebody walking up
Lord
to somebody
and
they're like, "Hello, nice to meet you," and then
shove it in the crotch. Yeah, no. So there's nothing, just a little bit, there's nothing gratuitous or graphic about this scene, yet you know exactly what is happening. It's very nice. Then Jamie makes the imp tally. That's definitely got to be. Even if they hadn't gone further, it would have been a one. And here, Tweetly D says, "I think it's amazing how you know exactly what Jamie is doing to Claire, but Diana never actually says explicitly that Jamie is downtown. The woman has skills."
With a Z.
With a Z. And then she likes the quote, "Takes a bit of effort to make you properly submissive, doesn't it?" And she also remarks that this might be, and we're not going to spoil it, but that this might be a little bit of a foreshadowing about the upcoming certain scene with Jamie and Claire and submissiveness. Or not submissiveness, but I guess that's the problem. We're not going to say what it is. I think the chapter ends with Jamie asking again, "Does it ever stop, Claire, the wanting?" And she answers, "I don't know, Jamie. I really don't." And to this, Tweetly D says in all caps, "The feels!" And she says, "Also, can I just mention that in jumping back to Outlander to catch up on the rereads, I am starting to hear Sam and Katrina's voices in my head." Woohoo! We're right there with you, Tweetly D. I am definitely starting to see them. I don't know if I've quite gotten to the point where I hear them yet, but I see them. I definitely see them.
I can concur with that.
The seeing or the voices?
Both, I think.
Really? You're getting there,
both.
Too?
I mean, the more we hear them and the more we see them, the more they've, like I've said, how much he has taken over my pre-visualization of what I thought Jamie looked like.
Yeah.
How much he's taken over that spot. I mean, he is Jamie for me now. And I feel the same way about her. So, but after having seen them in person, I think it's going to be kind of awkward watching them be naked together.
And it's not like we're, like, friends or anything. It's not like having two friends, like...
No, but after
catching two of your friends
and they were so intimate. Generous and so nice.
They were just
nice
so nice and I'm like, so it's normal. So weird.
I mean, obviously, they're not... They are normal people as far as being human beings. But, yes, obviously, they're stars. They're actresses and actors. And they're already famous. And they're about to explode onto the scene. Sure. But it was still... They were just so personable. They were so generous and just nice. And, yeah, people that you've just had, like, a very... And Sam, very, very gently, if you saw our YouTube video, very gently corrected my Gaelic. So, he's just... They come across as just very, very natural, very normal. And someone that you've had a little tiny, albeit just seconds, of a chat with, yeah, it could be a little... Because I've never... Summer and I have never... We've been fans before of things. We have never... ever fangirled like this, ever, to the point at which we are so, I don't like obsession, I guess maybe it is obsession to have a podcast about it, but as I say, it's not obsession, it's concentrated love. To have this much concentrated love for something is...
But you know now, every time she says concentrated love, I'm going to be hearing the word obsession.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, so basically, to be so enamored with the production and the actors and the author and the producer, just everything, and to follow it along so much as we do and give up so much of our life and our time and following. Of course, as Summer said, they are not close personal friends.
No.
But...
I would never say that.
No, but you already said that. I'm reiterating. They are not personal friends at all, but just how much we follow them and the fact that we met them and just met them and, you know, shaking hands and all of that stuff. Put it this way. I can't say it'll be weird or awkward. It might be a little awkward. It might be weird. But I've never had an experience watching something by people that I had followed for so long and met. It will definitely be interesting.
Yes.
To see how I not react, because I'm looking forward to 120% of everything Jamie Claire. The love, the hate, the brutality, the stuff with BJR, anything. I don't care. I just want Outlander. Yes. And we know that includes a lot of great stuff and a lot of sad stuff. But
A
lot of graphic stuff. But we look forward to all of it. And we're so happy. We've said this a million times, but this is 1,000,001. We are so happy the stars did it. Got it.
I think that is all the time we have for this week's episode of the Outlander podcast. That would be episode 21.
Oh my goodness, we're legal in another way now. We can drink.
Oh, we should have drank on this episode.
Oh, shoot.
You know what? I drank enough last week. I don't need to drink this
goodness,
week. My underage drinking last week.
Yeah, no. We're far above 21, but as far as our show goes, it's 21 weeks. Oh, how far would that be in a pregnancy?
We're not doing that.
Okay. Well, thank you as always so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode, number 22, our next episode, we have to say this, is another special episode. There will be no read-along next week in the next episode.
Feel free to prep for it for the following
week. Feel free to prep for it. It will be...
Chapter 18 is Raiders in the Rocks.
And that is in 2 weeks or two episodes from now. We have a special one next weekend for Burns Day. Thank you again for listening. We look forward to our next episode.
Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at @OutlanderPod. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/OutlanderPod. Or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com.
Last night, that my young